Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Technology is amazing. The development of many alternatives to the typical computer can make shopping a little challenging. Well, we're going to give you some of the information you need to meet that challenge, especially if you're thinking about going out and buying electronic devices for family, friends, or even yourself. My guest is Ari Goldberg. He is the owner of A to Z Technology Services. Ari, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you very much.
Now, this is going to be interesting, Ari, because I recently went through trying to decide whether or not I needed to upgrade, whether I needed to do this or that or the other, and I came away with knowing that I just need to make a few tweaks to my computer, which you helped me do, and I'm happy and it's working well and so on. But it probably, my computer is old and, you know, it's like 4 or 5 years old, but to me it works great. I don't have all that many demands on a computer. I do a lot of writing, so I use it for writing and, you know, internet, and I do some streaming on it. But there are a lot of people out there who do some very sophisticated things on consumers. So our challenge today is going to be to tell people how to start out with a simple computer and for the people who are like me, and how to go on and progress to more sophisticated ones. So let's just talk about, first off, though, like what we did in going through and making my computer more efficient. What are some of the things that the consumer can do, the computer user can do, to just check and see, do they really need a new computer?
Right. So that is something that a lot of people ask me. They often say exactly what you said. They said, my computer is old. And that's a very subjective word. Some people tell me that after 1 year, they say, my computer's kind of old. I bought it, more than a year ago. And other people tell me, my computer's not that old. I think I got it like 7 or 8 years ago. So it really does vary what that word means. I was laughing when you said old. And so really that's too subjective of a word to determine. So what I usually look at is the specifications of the computer and what the capacities and how they're using it. So the first thing to really look at is how much hard drive space you have and how much is full. A computer needs about 20% or more free to even function normally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have one of the older computers and maybe you bought a low-end one at the time, you may only have a, let's say, 250 gigabyte hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've filled it with your family photos and movies even, you may actually only have 20 left, and that's a problem. So looking at how much storage you're using is a big issue. Then the next big question, and this has become less of an issue over the last few years because most of the computers come with more than the minimum amount of RAM, which is the operating memory, versus the storage memory, which is the hard drive. And so that's 4 gigabytes about these days is very average, and a lot of computers I see have
mm-hmm.
that. But if you do a lot and keep a lot open on the computer, that's what the operating memory is used for, you may want more, and it's a relatively inexpensive upgrade. So those are the two big things. Then you could talk about some of the things that we did. Uninstalling applications that you don't use anymore. Those are running in the background. You could talk about even what's running. Let's say there are things you do want, antivirus software, but you don't want that running at the same time, perhaps, as what you're doing. So you can pause that, finish it later when you're done
mm-hmm.
with your work. And I think that's, again, some of the other things. People talk about defragmenting a drive, but I have to say that's actually something that isn't as useful as it used to be. New computers are so fast at processing those
that it doesn't
that
become
data.
An issue anymore.
It doesn't become an issue anymore.
Yeah.
But now, if you want to make your computer from a normal computer, let's say, to a supercomputer, these days we have a really good opportunity in the marketplace to do something from turning it into a regular hard drive into a SSD drive, a solid-state drive. And so I've done that for a few people. If they just want to spend a little money, because it's hard to do for the average consumer,
mm-hmm.
but it is something that a computer guy could do. It's something that even a hobbyist could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking your regular old spinning hard drive, which is inside your computer, and then transferring that, cloning that to a SSD drive, which uses more like the flash memory of your USB kind of ports. So there's no mechanics, there's no mechanical spinning going on. It's very quick read-write access.
So this is going to give you a lot more speed, space, etc., functioning better without you having to buy a new computer.
Right. So there's a way to just upgrade what you have. Then some people say, you know, I don't want to spend $200 on a computer anymore when I can get one for $500. And so that's an option too. It really depends on the consumer.
Right. Because the technology has brought the prices down tremendously. And there are lots of choices. Let's talk about some of the choices now. Do people want a desktop? Do they want a laptop? Can a tablet substitute? There's just all kinds of choices out there. It's enough to boggle your mind. And I suppose before someone starts going out shopping, the first thing they should do is to sit down and make it just to themselves. What are you going to use it for? Like me, I know what I use my computer for. But do I want to do it so that I can edit photographs? Do I want to have a lot of photographs on my computer? Do I want to do a lot of streaming? I guess all of those are questions that people need to ask before they go out and make a new purchase.
Right. You may even ask the question, do you do a lot of typing, which I know you do. Keyboard comfort is a huge issue. If you're going to think, I'll just get an iPad and I'll use that as my computer, it may not suffice. But if you're going to be reading Kindle books and playing games and reading email, that might be the perfect computer for you. So there's a lot of discussion and thought of how you use a computer. So obviously we can't answer everybody's question as to what they're going to use. But if they thought about it themselves, what am I going to do with this? And what am I going to do with it now? But also what am I going to do with it for the next 3 years?
Right.
You know, put some timeline on it.
Right. And if you're just learning and you're developing skills, you may want to, you know, make your computer so that those developing skills you can phase them into your new computer so that you don't have to go out and buy another computer. But let's call it
future-proofing it.
I like that term. I'm a forward-thinking person, obviously. But, you know, going back to the types of things that are available,
right.
I mean, when you walk into a store now, it's not just go in there and buy a old-fashioned desktop computer, you know, with hard memory and all of that sort of stuff. There's just lots of bells and whistles. And I think that's where people need to do a lot of research before they ever set foot in a store. Go online, research, compare prices, compare features, do reviews, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, you can tell I'm a consumer person, right?
Right. So what I find for people is they may have come from a desktop and they don't even think outside that box. They say, I sit at my desk, I have a desk, and that's what I do. But then I challenge people to think about how they're going to use the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually want to move it off the desk and go someplace with it? Obviously, that's sort of that laptop idea. Do you have very limited space? I work with a lot of people who have apartments in D.C., and they don't have expansive apartments. So sometimes a laptop is the right decision, even though it never leaves the desk.
Yeah,
let's just
I have to interrupt you. We need to take a pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Ari Goldberg. He is the owner of A to Z Technology Services. And we're talking about computers. There's so many choices available out there now. It's going to require a little bit of homework to make the right choice. And as you were saying, even though it may be a laptop, it never leaves the desk, but it's what fits into your space.
Right. So my thought is that there are different size laptops, honestly. There's the 17-inch laptop, which really isn't designed to be lugged around the neighborhood on your back. It's designed to stay on a desk, and they sometimes even call that a desktop replacement laptop.
I have one of those. It has a big screen.
Right.
I do move it sometimes. It's not that heavy, but it's bigger.
It's bigger. And again, it's just it's portable. It's just not designed to be brought on a laptop.
I'm not going out jogging with it. That way.
Correct. There are, but now some people also, even that might be too small of a screen. Laptops max out at 17 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, well, I like a desktop because I used to have my 20-inch screen or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a desktop still might be the right answer. But again, if you're limited in space or you just want a neater look, they there's all-in-one systems. There
now, what
are,
does that mean? So, what is all-in-one?
So it means that the whole computer is actually built into the monitor. So the only thing you actually have to plug in is the power. You plug in the power. Built into the monitor is the processor, the RAM.
I can do that.
The wireless computer, the wireless network ability. And in fact, if you use a wireless mouse and keyboard, you have one wire connecting that whole thing. And it's just very elegant. Now, from a repair guy's perspective, it's difficult. It's hard to get in. It's often not even consumer repair accessible. But again, it's a nice product. You can get them in different sizes, but then again, you're limited. You have a choice of a 21-inch, a 24-inch, a 27-inch, and maybe that's it, again, because the whole computer is built into the monitor.
Right.
So you don't have as much flexibility, but again, an elegant solution.
Yes, and space-saving.
And space saving.
Well, now, I know that, for example, on my laptop, and I have done it when I get tired of the keyboard on my laptop, because I'm not sure that it's, and this is one of the other things I think we need to talk about, how friendly is it to your use and your body? But I have used keyboards. I can plug a keyboard into my laptop and use a keyboard other than what's on the laptop, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can set it higher up on my desk instead of on the pull-out things for the, and put the keyboard there.
Right. So that's why a lot of people do get a laptop, because it used to be a compromise. Oh, I won't get a laptop. It won't be as powerful as a desktop. That's absolutely not the case anymore. Laptops are just as powerful, if not more powerful, or possibly more powerful than a desktop. So what you can do, and what I recommend for some people, they want the laptop because they want the portability, but they want the bigger screen. So how do you get both? And the answer is quite simply, you use the laptop as a desktop, in that it has the processor, it has the memory, but what you then do with it is you connect everything externally. You sit it on the desk. You can put in any monitor size you want at that point. 32-inch, I've had people have as big as TVs. And then they connect a mouse and a keyboard and even some external speakers if you want better audio. And there you go. Now you have a laptop acting as a desktop. Then when you want to take it on the road, you unplug what you need to do. You can even buy a relatively expensive dock, but then that's only one plug versus six, maybe. And then you take it with you, and then you're on the road. Then when
that
you're
is
on the
really
road,
cool.
Obviously, yeah, when you're on the road, then obviously you're looking at the screen size that you bought, whether that's 13, 14, or 15 inches. But,
well, but that's only temporary. It's not like you're going to be doing that forever. Yeah.
Right. So that's a good compromise. But now when we're talking about portability, it makes me think of all the portable laptops there are in the world now. They're much lighter, much thinner than they used to be, again, much cheaper than they used to be. So you could buy a standard 15-inch laptop in the $500 range, and that's for PCs. Now we're talking not Macintoshes and Apple, but for that price, it's great. So when you get to the smaller screens, sometimes you actually get more expensive products because they're building in a lot of technology to make that screen and that weight smaller. So there are some popular names now, like the Microsoft Surface, that has a fully detachable keyboard. And so when you're connected with the keyboard, it's a full user experience, a full computer user experience. Then you can actually pull off the keyboard, and the intention is for you to then use it as a tablet, so that you have the tablet experience, the full screen, icons, and things like that.
Well, what you're really telling me is there are so many options out there, you better do your homework.
You do your homework. I'm still a fan of going to stores, and you go into the store and you touch it. You feel it. You see how the keyboard is. Is it comfortable? Is it too heavy? Is it too small? I've never heard anybody say it's too light, but is it
No. But they're getting lighter all the time.
They are. Even those standard 15-inch ones are lighter than they ever used to be.
Well, it is fun to go out and learn all about the new technology. I have a tablet. But I have a small 7-inch tablet.
Is that an Android tablet?
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's just the right size. If I want to carry something around with me other than my my phone, which I have an Android phone as well. But they sync up. I mean, there's just so many things going on out there. It's just amazing. It's such fun.
It is. It's fun. And a lot of people will then combine technology. I'll use my laptop for most of my stuff. But if I'm going away for 2 days or whatever number they decide, I'm just going to take my iPad. Mm-hmm. I realize I won't type as well on it, but that's great. You know, I'll just use it for
You're not going to use it that much for typing anyway, probably. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, so I guess, and one of the things that is the most important is figuring out what you're going to need. Budget, that of course is a big thing. And desktops are less expensive than these other gadgets that we've talked about, aren't they?
No, so that's actually not the case anymore.
Not the case, okay.
When you buy the tower, well, let's put it this way. When you're buying a desktop computer, you're buying multiple components because mm-hmm. you're buying the tower and you're buying the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a laptop, they're kind of together.
They're all
they're
one.
Actually together. So where, again, let's just put that number, the median price I would say on these things is mm-hmm. is about $500. So mm-hmm. you can get a very middle-of-the-road laptop for $500. When you're looking at desktops, you're probably going to find that tower is going to cost you $500, but then you're going to think of, then you have to add into the monitor. So they're not expensive as they used to be again, but $100, $150 gets you the good-sized monitor. So it actually could be more to get a desktop.
You really need to do some price comparisons in thinking about this. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Ari Goldberg. He is the owner of A to Z Technology Services. We're talking about computers, how to improve the one you have, or if you want to go out and buy a new one, what are the things that you need to know? So now, do people ever substitute tablets for laptops and use them totally in lieu of a laptop?
Yes. And so some of the higher end versions of that are absolutely being used for that. There's the iPad, just came out with the iPad book. So that's the Apple version of it. And then Microsoft has had out the Surface Pro for a while, which is different than their regular Surface. The Surface Pro has a bigger screen. It has a 12-inch screen. Mm-hmm. And they even have a new one called the Surface Book, a 13.5-inch screen. So those are the larger tablets that are now being used as computers.
Well, how
and
do you,
so you absolutely can do that.
How
You're
do
just
you
at
let,
a higher
let, me, let me ask you a question. Seems to me like the boundaries are getting a little blurred now between mm-hmm. a laptop and a tablet. What are the defining factors? What does one do that the other doesn't?
So I guess if you had to put a tag on it, you would say a tablet uses apps and a computer uses software.
Okay.
But even those lines are blurred with the new Microsoft Windows 10 operating system, mm-hmm. which is something I wanted to talk about, because those programs are apps and those apps are software. So those gray over and overlap as well. So there's not much difference. What you may look at, depending on capacity and usage, some tablets include extra storage and extra expandability, mm-hmm. like a USB port or an SD card, which is a storage memory mm-hmm. That you could put into the tablet. And so, and then again, to compare the iPad versus PC, your tablet, you're going to find that local storage is a lot more built into the design versus an iPad, where it really still is a lot more cloud-based. Mm-hmm. But again, there's crossover. You're obviously able to store things on an iPad
right.
as well.
Right.
So there's, and put a keyboard on it if you like.
So it depends if you want both of them. If you can afford both of them, go for it. Or not. So,
well, Todd, you mentioned
Windows 10.
I did.
Now, we did not discuss whether people should have an Apple or a PC.
Right, that's
decide?
An age-old discussion. So let me start with the PC.
We don't have
system.
All that long, so
okay.
make it brief.
I'll make it brief. But the PC operating system, again, people ask me all the time, should I get Windows 10? Should I get Windows 8? Should I still get Windows 7? And that's a very popular question. And the answer is, at this point, Windows 10 is the current operating system. It's a decent operating system, and so I don't see any reason to shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
If you really are committed to your Windows 7 because you're just so familiar with it, it's also fine. And honestly, at this point, Microsoft is still giving away, including, I'll say, Windows 10 as a free upgrade. So
yeah.
you can change if you like. Now, the big discussion about getting an Apple is Apple versus PC is, again, an age-old discussion. A lot of people ask me which one's better, and there's no better. There's just preference. Apples are definitely built in general prettier. I could say they're better looking. They're not as susceptible to the kinds of things like viruses, but they're starting to get them also now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also more expensive. And I think there's a premium. People understand that an Apple product is, they spend a lot of money on design, and mm-hmm. you're paying for that.
Okay, so that's one of the major choices, but the end product, you can use either one of them for most all the same applications.
Right, and at this point, that's true. It used to be, again, limitations, but as we've moved to a lot more things being done on the internet mm-hmm. and through a browser even, that compatibility is there. So you want to check if you're buying a product, is it compatible with my work VPN, for example,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I have some kind of editor software or something like that. But outside of that sort of specialty stuff, you're going to find that you can do all the word processing, picture, video editing, and all that stuff on anything.
Okay. Now, what are some of the other things that people need to consider in terms of buying this computer? What about let's suppose you're keeping your work products on your laptop at home, and you have a computer that's in a secure environment at your office, but you want to be able to use them interchangeably. What kind of security do you need to make sure you have? Do you want something, some kind of logon security other than a password?
So for a home user, a password's still always a very good idea. You don't need to do as much encryption. I think you're mostly on your home network. When you, again, if you have your laptop, mm-hmm. you're going to take it in public, then there are things to talk about by getting on a secure connection.
Oh, yeah, but make sure that you're not sitting in some wireless cafe where everybody's going to be logging on to what you're doing.
Right, and sending unencrypted data. That's the most mm-hmm. important thing. But for the most part, you're going to find, security-wise, if you get a good antivirus software and put a password on your computer, that's usually enough for a home user. You're not going to need any kind of encryption.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll mention one last thing with security. There's a lot of the companies do have something called two-tier authentication, which
mm-hmm.
basically just means I sign into Gmail, and every time you do that, they have to send you a text message, for example, before you can log in.
So
and
that makes
that's
it
a, very
a little
secure
bit
way.
Cumbersome.
Mm-hmm. A little more cumbersome, a lot more secure. There's always that trade-off. But again, that's not really designed into the laptop. That's just something I wanted to mention for software.
Mm-hmm. We've only got a couple of minutes. Have we left something out?
Let's see. Well, we didn't talk about age a little. So the age of the user could also affect the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying something for grandma or grandpa, they may want something different than the middle school child.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to give you those extremes, some of the seniors, they actually do appreciate the touchscreen. I find that actually is a little easier to manage than a touchpad on a laptop
mm-hmm.
or even a mouse, because the hands are just harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the, if you're going to look at Windows 10, they have Cortana, which is a voice-activated
mm-hmm.
feature. So again, that's easier for a senior because you can talk or just touch rather than
accomplish what you want.
And accomplish what you want. If you're shopping for a younger child, I would actually advise for something less expensive.
Something simpler.
They tend to break
yeah.
when you have the younger child using them.
That's the final word, Ari. Thank you so much for giving us so much tips and information. I learned a lot today.
Great.
Anyway, it's been delightful having you. This has been, my guest has been Ari Goldberg. He is the owner of A to Z Technology Services. We've been giving you the info you need before you set out to computer shop. And you've been listening to us right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. That's shirley@callforaction.org. And we're glad you joined us today. Listen to this program before you head out there to buy that computer. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.